I'm also excited to introduce Jackie Shelton Green. Many of you may know, and she has for a long time been traveling to teach people how to write around the world and has been teaching people here as well. She's also a consummate performer and writer of poetry. And so I'm thrilled to be able to introduce Jackie Shelton Green.
There's an African proverb that says, where you stand in your youth will determine where you sit as an elder. Having said that, I'd like to really pay homage to Patrick. Because Patrick truly is a visionary, and Patrick is courageous to have the audacity to bring a community of poets together. Because I believe that the ordinariness of art really is about change. And I believe that part of my mission as a writer is to tell the truth, and that hopefully that truth might free us. Lifting Veils, September 11, 2001. La ilaha illallah, one. It is a blood-stained horizon whispering, La ilaha illallah. Prelude to a balmy evening that envelops our embrace. We stand reaching across sands, waters, airs full of blood. La ilaha illallah. In the flash of a distant storm, I see you standing on another shore, torn hijab, billowing towards unnamed wind. We both wear veils, blood-stained, tear-stained, enshrouding separate truth. Two, misty morning teardrops of dust choke and stain lips that will not move, will not utter. It is a morning of shores, sea shadows that caress memory of another time, another veil, another woman needing, reaching, lifting. La ilaha illallah. Three, into your eyes I swam, searching for veils to lift, to wrap, to pierce, dance with. Veils that elude such mourning, veils that stain such lips, veils tarrying like music. Four, it is the covering of spirit, not the body, my hijab, your hijab, connecting, interweaving, crawling, snaking, binding into a sky that will not bend. I'm reading poems from a collection called Singing a Tree into Dance, and I am very thankful to Carolina Wren Press for publishing the special edition in commemoration of my receiving the 2003 North Carolina Award in Literature. You all can clap. Because they don't give it to colored girls every day. And I'm still shocked that they gave it to this colored girl, but I'm honored and I'm pleased. I go into rooms with Rumi. I wear new faces into rooms I've never gone into before. Faces stitched by hands of grandmothers whose skin is clay, whose clan is wind, awakening from Earth's sleep. I wear new faces into a pitch of circles, a sky of dervish, a dance of holy. I sit with river tears that have stained the throats of elders, burned the souls of wandering infants, and laced the tea of thirsty virgins. I sit with the wide leaves of palm trees, leaves hurled from the recesses of their color, their markings. I wear new faces into rooms where I've never gone before. I wear new faces, crawling into southern veins, screaming veins, flowing into southern creeks, alongside rail tracks choking with wisteria, tracks that refuse to give back black bones to black mothers, whose son's skin is now the fabric of steel. We wash kinky babies in dewdrops gathered in secret. Muscadine smells send trails of rapture and salvation into woods full of hushed song. Juneteenth hugging and dancing, reclaim bootlegging warriors, reclaim hoochie coochie damsels, straightening their backs while stretching their legs, clad with red fox, primrose pomade, starched mouths, rinsing out red clay stains for a baptism that will not cleanse. Thank you. This is a poem I've actually never read aloud. It's a piece that I wrote when I was in New York. Actually, it was the week that Mandela was released from prison, and he was scheduled to come that next morning. And I wrote this sitting on a bench in 125th Street for Donald and Segun. 125th Street beggars, choosers, priest, unfinished, unpainted, voodoo dolls for sale. The priest sold cowrie shells. His wife sold necklaces made from elephant hair. They exchanged ivory for words. The city dresses up for Mandela. Winos reappear in the family album. Needles fall from the arms of alley squirrels. We run to take cover out of the rain. I cry. It is my father's ashes glistening on barren branches. The clouds were bloodstained in the shadows of ritual called crossing. To name is to replace. To praise is to erase. To dance is to fall. Bloodstains on red skin need not be removed from the lips of children unnamed, or from the red crosses in skies untouched. To touch is to smear. Martin's voice was a piano key this morning, out of tune, sharp. It is my father's ashes glistening on barren branches, blood falling on earth, fertilizing the good earth. Dance, Martin. Claim your own cloud. The Martin is Martin Luther King. This is a piece that I hope I have a lot of energy for, because it takes a lot of energy to do it. And there are actually two voices. There's a voice of the slave auctioneer and the spirit voice. Auction block. Open your legs, gal. I ain't gonna tell you no more. Now step right on up here, you fine Virginia men of class. Step right on up here and look at this gal's hole. Now that's a well for a lot of drinking. Aunt Sue spread her legs wide as six white men stepped forward to bid on this hole, a hole that will soon suck them up in its darkness, a darkness as wide, as deep as her geography. Aunt Sue was bought by Master Peterson, who had a twitch for African wenches. Master Peterson would visit Aunt Sue each third full moon Wednesday. She now knew how to predict his restlessness. Her children by him continued to look negroid, as if her body knew its own being and refused to acknowledge his white seed. These children grew, disappearing before their mother's eyes, disappeared as a wedding present to Master Peterson's sister down in South Carolina, disappeared when Master Peterson got drunk in Georgia and lost 3 slave boys to a gambler, disappeared in exchange for a new set of mules to the horse breeder in Kentucky. Third Wednesdays, full moons, Aunt Sue gathered nettleweed, saved strands of Third Wednesday hair, gathered blood from Ms. Peterson's monthly, stitched out psalms using Master Peterson's hair, stood bone naked against the elm tree of her father's lynching. In midnight sounds, her womb gathers teeth from the rain. I'm going to read 2 more. 1959, somewhere over the South Carolina border. This yellow dress becomes canvas for the dreams that appear colorless beneath her smile. They stand together, his blonde hair waving in the wind, her black braids erect, daring the air to pause. They clasp hands for the picture man and stare straight ahead into the framed future of cross burnings, slashed tires, backyard clotheslines torched, dead cats thrown through the front door. I arrived in 1962, the color of coral and ripened peaches, brown hair that refuses to straighten. I carry my mother's birthmark in the same place, an arrow pointing to the east inside my left thigh. I am my father's smile and his eyes, blue stone, gray stone, wolf eyes, grandmother said. Grandmother Arita would call them when I learned the power of their mystery. I grew into the arrow inside my left thigh, grew my braids to my hips, and dared the wind to stir them. This yellow dress stained, stitched, patched, holds back the cold, becomes the love curtain in this house of skin. The obituary did not mention me as daughter. The obituary did not name my mother as wife or my brother as son. The obituary did not name the street of our house. The obituary named your residence as Old Bond, your wife, Diana Cron, your son, Daniel Cron Jr., your daughter, Elizabeth Cron. But it is this house where your smell of expensive tobacco and antique leather drift from book to book in the reading room of our West Bank flat, where even the jazz you listen to brews like chocolate and orange, and the licorice of my Thursday morning archery classes, with you, father, perfect warrior, teacher. Your inkwells clogged with dust, your canvases eaten by the moths that have evicted your shadows and erected their own gnomes in their like image. Father, your swords remain hanging over the stone fireplace in the game room, this room where you taught me to cha-cha-cha and pirouette across the silk, hand-knotted Persian rug, this room full of dark smells and laughing memories that eat away the colors of the setting sun. This room where you, father, you, and where my brother discovered you head down on the piano. You looked like you were sleeping, your hands positioned to play a lullaby. The obituary read that you died peacefully in your sleep beside your beloved wife of 30 years. I'm going to read another poem I've never read before. I don't know if it's finished. A Ransom of Bones. These bones, touch them gently. For they have been known to pick the locks of hidden rooms, empty rooms, a chair, bottles of ink, mountains of paper. But now there is an open door. I have been this way before as poet, fading quietly, turning to the dead incantations of slaves rising, heaving through my throat. O spirit, blow on me an old poem, a night of rapture, bleeding the writing from the river where my blood is born. Ritualize the collapse of my sap annually, my memory, an unfurling of unfamiliar fabric, falling, but no one reaches for me, for I am unknown to their light, their taste, their smell, their sounds. I am the one locked away, the one who pays them $500 a year to keep the door closed, $500 a year to change the water at the altar, $500 a year to remember to forget. I speak through muted smoke before collapsing into this fire circle. I have lost track of my secret in this dance. The calculus of my sins becomes sweet, whispered drama. They pretend the door is not locked, but they are relieved that I have swallowed all the keys. Touch these bones gently when they appear as poems, warming to an alien congregation that speaks in familiar tongue. Draw closer to the keyhole. Enter this room where I have planted these bones. Enter as mercy, as transparent as faith that has grown accustomed to this myth of home. We write, my bones and I, we love to write. We write in thanksgiving. I pay for the keepsakes and the safekeeping. I pay the merchant's price, the auctioneer's purse. I pay my own skin for the price of a key, a room, a rape, a birth, a secret, black, crooked frame, a twig of knees, bare, snapped, longing to feel the flow of water, the thunder of my mother, the sigh of his pleasure. I am remembering to feel the bark growing inside of me. I am nourished by the soup of making poems. I pay to commit these sins of the tongue. $500 a year to keep me locked away in freedom's dusty cubicle, locked away in my journey, my rituals of faith, waiting on mercy, grace to unlock skirts, open curtains, bear my art to a sun that does not warm these bones of poems. I write the secrets back into the fire, reseal the key lock with my sweating hair, my body an unfurling, unfamiliar fabric of memory. The teasing lover, but a lover just the same. I am waiting for the river to rise. I sit here in my room, the bondsman's daughter, counting the tornadoes I will unleash, painting my lips with the colors of somewhere else. I am waiting for this rise of the river to chill my breasts, sharpen their needles, their nipples, to the quills they must become. These bones should be nowhere else but here to receive the sunlight, the holiness. They feel your breath at the door, but you will not enter. You are afraid of such warmth. You are afraid of these sharp nipples, their language, their taste for freedom. I lock the words away just in case. But then I remember $500 a year reminds you of what it is you must not remember. The darkness of my body offering up questions you cannot answer. The darkness of words that spill all over your floors. Stain your chairs, eat into your curtains. Speak gently to these bones. Else they leave old poems on your doorways with foreign sighs and fleshy whisper. In another life, you will buy me houses to hold all the books my skin will write. In another life, you will choose these colors, paint these walls with your tongue, your seed. In another life, the hoarded secrets will unfold, will dine on each other. But for now, I will joyously pay to write these other betrayals, entice these daytime shadows to kiss memory back into my bones. These bones, these bones. Touch them gently, for they have been known to dig themselves into the sky under the skin, turn light into sharp crystal, and walk away, holding the word still intact, still within reach, breathing, disguised as a wall, needing new color, needing a new ransom. Thank you.
Not only are you telling the truth, but you're doing it with such incredible beauty and just this masterful sense of polyrhythm. I'm keeping time and hearing the compressions and expansions. It's remarkable, amazing. Thank you, Jackie.